Buddhang Dhammang Sanghang Namassana. Sometimes it happens that we feel restless and unsettled about something, and we don't know what that something is. It's just we know we're unsettled and discontented. In the case where it is something obvious or big, well, so be it. However, there are times where it's just not clear. You just feel agitated. And it can help, I would suggest, to address that very feeling of being unsettled with a question. We just ask ourselves directly, what is it that you want? Obviously we want something. If we were free from wanting something, we would be contented, right? We'd be settled. And it seems that it's often the case that we're not alert enough, or we're in too much of a hurry to get over this restlessness, to get over this agitation, to gratify whatever unacknowledged wanting we've got so that we can feel okay again. It's a habit that many of us have, and an unconscious habit, I would suggest. And so this is worth trying, this asking this simple, perhaps very obvious question. Maybe it's so obvious that we don't ask it. What do I want? What do I want right now? And we're not asking it with the aim of gratifying it. We're just asking it because we're interested. What is the source of this restlessness? Why am I not contented right now? What is getting in the way of being contented? Okay, if you're freezing cold, well, turn the heating up. Or if you're really tired, you can have a sleep. If that's not causing restlessness, it's something on a deeper level, then let's not miss the opportunity to learn from that and address it directly. Just, what is it that I want? Again, not just asking from our heads and then imagining what it is that I want and then how can I get it and be contented again. Rather asking it from our hearts, asking in a feeling way. And there's a time and a place, obviously, for thinking and abstraction about what's going on. There's also a time for inquiring on a deeper feeling level, the level of sensation in our hearts, in our chest or in our belly. Can we feel that feeling of wanting? And so asking it of our hearts, not asking about our heads. And even like, for instance, like right now, I'm not suggesting that you try and perform this inquiry if you're feeling restless right now. I'm not suggesting that you start inquiring of your own heart right now, what is it that I want? Because unless you're really seriously able in your contemplation, then if you're doing that, then you're not listening to what I'm saying, which would be unfortunate. Right now, still listening from the heart, imagining, as I've often mentioned before, imagining that your ears are in the center of your chest. Slightly weird perception. However, just by way of experiment, imagining that your ears are in the center of your chest and you're simply listening, not analyzing, not thinking, not comparing this with other things you've heard or other things that have been said, or What does he mean by this? And just simply receiving, like turning on the receiver. Or as Ajahn Chah used to say sometimes before he'd give a talk, and just establish your heart in a suitable mode and then listen. And it's like a tape recorder. Well, these days a recording device. In those days was the old analog tape recorder. So turn on the tape recorder and just let it run and trust that it's going to record. And likewise, that's the disposition that we want to adopt when listening to a Dhamma talk. And I don't think we have to be worried about being convinced of some foolish argument. I mean, we can question what we've heard later. For the sake of really receiving what's being said, the encouragement would be just to receive it in the heart, here and now, feeling what we feel, and really listening. In the same way as a saying, when if you're feeling restless, in another circumstance when you're on your own, asking the question, what is it that I want? And feeling what we feel in our hearts. As I said, not interested in coming up with an object. It's more that activity that we call wanting, to come into a conscious relationship with that activity, that sensation, that fire, that movement, that wind, whatever it is that's in our chest when we're wanting. Can we sense that? Do we have the open-heartedness, the sensitivity, the aliveness to really meet it? And in coming into conscious relationship with that, already we're going to, I would expect, find we have a new experience already. We didn't get what we were wanting, rather we came into an embodied, mindful relationship with that activity. And then we can start to really inquire. If we're only asking from our heads, why am I restless now? And we think, oh, because I haven't had a holiday, or because I'm missing my friends, or all this kind of dreaming, that's totally missing the point. There's no end to that. Let's just go round and round and round. That's the stories, and the dreams, the fantasies. That's not dealing with the fire. That's not dealing with the movement. It's not dealing with the dukkha. And that might be something that we notice in this inquiry, how afraid we are to actually feel what it is that's at the source of our restlessness, what it is that we want, or the wanting itself. Maybe a real hesitation, a contraction in the chest, a pain in the chest of contracted denial, refusing to feel what we feel in our hearts, here and now. Maybe what we need to do is some breathing exercises, or some other form of physical exercise that brings about relaxation. Take a shower or do some chanting. Out of interest, not out of avoidance, not out of judgment. If we're judging the fact that we're restless because we want something that we haven't got right now, that's likely to just feed into the contraction. Rather out of a genuine concern, the Buddha pointed to over and over again, it's not understanding dukkha. It's not understanding desire. It's not understanding this movement that means we stay locked into this limited state. And so with that interest, with that sensitivity, finding ways of inquiring more deeply, and it's quite likely images will come to mind. It's maybe what first comes to your mind is, I want cookies and ice cream. That's what I want. Followed up by a nice cup of coffee. That'd be really nice. And if that's what we want, no judgment. However, can we really feel that wanting? Can we just know that, wanting, call it by its name, wanting. Wanting. Really address it directly. I want cookies and ice cream. And then hopefully we've prepared ourselves already in advance with an understanding of the Buddha's teachings on the three manifestations of deluded desire. And that is karma tanha, bhava tanha, vibhava tanha. Not wholesome desire, not wholesome aspiration, not wholesome motivation. This is deluded wanting, in this case karma tanha, for sense treats like cookies and ice cream. That's a sense treat. Can we feel it? And can we experiment with feeling, for instance, the space in which that movement is taking place? Is it ultimate? Well, it's true that some people are so identified in their deluded desire that they don't have any perspective on it at all. They immediately get caught up in being pulled into the vortex of wanting, which is a disaster, terrible stress. Hopefully that doesn't apply to any of us, so we can have some perspective and then experiment with feeling like, for instance, feeling to the edges of it, feeling, just dropping that suggestion, can I feel to the edges of this wanting, whatever it is, a sense treat. We've already got some perspective on it. If we didn't have any perspective, I wouldn't be able to reflect like this. Most of us are getting around in a state of what's probably these days is augmented reality, where we sort of feel what we feel, we sort of smell what we smell, we sort of see what we see, and then we overlay it with all sorts of stories. Am I going to get the cookies and ice cream? Am I going to see my friends again? Always adding something extra. For the Buddha, he talked about his experience of, and the seeing is just the seeing, and the hearing is just the hearing, and the tasting is just the tasting. So nothing added, nothing taken away. For us, because of the inaccurate appreciation of this movement and awareness in the heart that we call wanting, not informed with wisdom, with clear seeing, we make a mess of it, complicate it. Oh, I shouldn't be wanting cookies and ice cream because I'm supposed to be meditating. Or it's in the evening, I'm a Buddhist monk, I shouldn't be wanting that in the evening, and all the rest of it. Well, we, again, exercise the discipline of attention and inhibiting those stories, the overlay of augmented reality. If you're really lost, well, then that's called virtual reality, where you're totally absorbed into the stories and just, as I say before, lost, pulled into the vortex. If that happens, where you want to open your eyes and, again, go for a walk or breathe some fresh air or talk to somebody and recover from being totally lost. If we have sufficient ability already established, then we don't have to be judging the object of desire. We feel it. Karma tanha, craving for a sense treat. Call it by its name. Just craving. I'm just wanting. I want. Coming into conscious relationship, and how does that feel? I would expect you find it feels very different, because we're not resisting it anymore. In the beginning, what's he talking about? This doesn't work for me. And there's this, maybe it even intensifies the struggle. And there's a very good chance that if we start to experiment with this inquiry, we encounter what is accurately called, in my view, an accumulation of denied dukkha, denied life, denied desire, denied wanting. Most of us didn't get brought up with education regarding the Four Noble Truths, and so all we do is use our mental willpower to control desires and say, I want this and I'm not allowed it, so I'm just going to deny the desire, just push it into unawareness, push it down to the basement. I want to get out of here. I want to I want to go and lie in the sun. I want to just have some sort of a treat. It's inappropriate, and so we just deny it. And once we start to inquire like this, well then, guess what we find? It's the debts that we've built up. And not because we're wrong or because we're stupid, it's just because we weren't educated with regards to these dynamics. Wanting is energy or movement, and it's not going to disappear just because we deny it. So it's quite likely, quite possible, that as we engage in such an inquiry into what is the source of this restlessness, and we find that I want a treat, then we're going to encounter the backlog. Or maybe it's the next expression of deluded wanting, that is bhava tanha, craving for becoming. I want to become certain. The doctor told me that this might be wrong with my health and did some tests, and I've got to wait for 3 days before I get the results back. And I'm trying to meditate. And I want to be certain. I don't like this feeling of uncertainty. I want to become certain. Well, being interested in certainty is natural and understandable. However, if we have an uninformed relationship with regards to this movement that we call wanting, this activity and awareness that we call desire, if we have an uninformed and accurate appreciation of this, then we, guess what? We identify as it. This is me. I want to become sure. And we feel so justified in it, because that's what everybody's doing. Well, nearly everybody. Yes. Some wise beings out there who have seen through this story and are not making this mistake. Until there's wisdom, until there's clarity and accuracy of perception, then this is what we do. And not just worthwhile, it's really important to prepare ourselves with this appreciation of what the Buddha was teaching, karma tanha, bhava tanha, vibhava tanha, craving for sense treats, craving for becoming, craving for even becoming virtuous. This movement, this momentum of I want to become a better person, I want to be more kind, I want to be more patient, I want to be more patient. It's understandable. It's quite suitable to want to be patient. However, if our relationship with wanting is uninformed and we don't have a perspective on that movement, then we get lost in it. We become it. And that's that form of dukkha. So even wanting to be virtuous, even wanting to develop samadhi, perfectly understandable. If we turn that wholesome aspiration into craving, we spoil it. And this is not an intellectual argument that we need to convince ourselves of. This is an inquiry worth making. And again, as with the craving for sense treats, the craving for becoming, it's quite likely we'll encounter the backlog. And it's very difficult to deal with. Maybe desire for certainty, if early on in your life you had a lot of uncertainty, you can encounter a big backlog and feel desperately afraid of uncertainty. Desperately afraid of uncertainty. And desire for certainty and fear of uncertainty, they go together like the front and the back of the hand. If we cling to the desire for certainty and we can't handle it, so we push it into unawareness, we generate the fear of uncertainty and push that into unawareness, and then we build up this big backlog of accumulated denied dukkha, denied life, and it muddies everything, and it messes up everything. We feel threatened by what? By our own hearts. We feel threatened by our own hearts. There's nothing happening. We're just sitting alone in our room meditating, and this ordeal's happening. There's battles going on in our hearts. What is it? It's our own heart energy that we're dealing with. Yeah. If we've pushed the desire for becoming something, becoming light, if you didn't get enough approval early on in your life, being accepted and generating the fear of rejection. If this is what's been happening, we push it into unawareness, and once we start to open up and inquire, what is the cause of this restlessness, this discontentment, and what is it that I want? It's quite likely, again, we'll encounter the backlog of denied bhava tanha, craving for becoming something. And the third one, vibhava tanha, craving for getting rid of or not having. And getting rid of sadness. You can feel very virtuous and want to be free from sadness, if you have the pain of sadness, or something more obvious, like, you know, I want to just get rid of that person that I have to live with. Just want them to disappear. That movement, wanting to get rid of, wanting to be free from. And for some people, it's just wanting to get out of this whole mess, not wanting to exist, wanting non-existence, wanting to die. Or in a more apparently spiritual version of the same thing, wanting to get enlightened. Often you hear Buddhists talking about, oh, I don't want to be reborn again, I don't want to put up with this again, I want to get enlightened. And it seems, in the way they're talking, that actually it's not an equanimous interest in the causes for deluded existence, rather it's a craving for non-existence and feeling justified in it. So these expressions of deluded wanting, it's not helpful to be judging. At the same time, if we really want to inquire into the cause of restlessness, then this is exactly the place that we need to be looking. What is it that I want? And if we encounter the backlog of denied wanting and then fear arises, we've got to be very careful and no judgment. Feel the fear, just like talking about feeling that movement that we call wanting. Can we feel that movement we call fear, that rippling in the chest or that rumbling in the belly? Like if we've pushed fear down to the basement long enough, we can feel stuck there. People say, I feel so anxious in the pit of my belly. We need to find skillful ways of welcoming that heart energy. It's our own energy. It's not something coming from outside us necessarily. In some circumstances it might be. And here we're talking about that denial of our own heart energy that gets pushed down to the basement and becomes more difficult to deal with. And we need to welcome it back up into the heart territory, into the living room, into the light of day. Not just going up into the attic, into our head, and theorizing about it. And what are the causes for this? Where they're coming? There's a place for thinking about that. However, also, as you're saying, there's a very important place for being alive, being alert, being welcoming in the heart of what is, resisting the temptations to fantasize about what could be. And that's another distraction activity. One of the things I find most attractive, most wonderful about the Buddha's teachings is the encouragement to develop our spiritual faculties and then inquire into the experience we're having now. Not indulge in fantasies and dreams about how things could be or might be at some time in the future. A teaching that's given in some religions or even in some Buddhist teachings that present very attractive notions about how things might be and could be. And indeed, the Buddha sometimes did talk about liberation and his experience, where it seems to me that he spoke much more about how to hone down the faculties that we have, the spiritual potentials that we have, santa virya, sati samadhi panya, develop these faculties, these potentials, and then meet the experience that we're having right here now. Restlessness, some nebulous restlessness, what is it? And maybe try asking this question, what do I want? And maybe in this inquiry, we start to discover that we have assumptions, or the intensity of the assumptions we have, that when I get what I want, I will not just be happy, but I'll be whole. I will feel whole when I get what I want. That's an assumption worth looking at, really worth looking at. Remember not just investigating conceptually. What does it feel like? What does this assumption feel like, that I will be whole when I get what I want? I can remember when I used to smoke cigarettes, and I don't think I literally believed I would die if I didn't have a cigarette. However, there was something akin to that kind of a drama going on if I can't have a cigarette. And it's called an addiction. I didn't have the ability to feel that wanting with any degree of accuracy. It was a terrible struggle. It was a willful struggle, willful resistance. If we come across this assumption that when I get the object of my desire, I'm going to feel whole, can we question that? Are we willing to question that? I would strongly encourage questioning that. And maybe even consider the possibility that this gratification caper, this story that is so prevalent in the world, that feeds the perpetual wanting, this story is a complete con. That maybe the solution to our restlessness is actually reintegrating, re-meeting, re-allowing this very energy that we call wanting, receiving it back into our hearts again. Very early on in life, we reject the heart energy, liking and disliking, wanting and not wanting. And we push it away, and then we manipulate it, and then we become alienated from our own hearts. Maybe what's called for is actually receiving this energy. Not believing in the stories that alienated energy conjures up in our heads, like, how many times do you eat cookies and ice cream to realize it's not going to help? It's not going to make a difference. Gratification is a con. And how do we see through that? Thank you very much for your attention.